Good morning. How awesome is the Lord? There's fire in the house. There's fire in the house. Come on, give the Lord a praise. Give the Lord a praise. As they were finishing off the worship, I just thought of this scripture in Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise you. Thank you, Father, for your presence this morning. My goodness, just stand up for a second, please. I don't want the Lord to change. Just raise your hands, please. Like Pastor Keith said, it's not about me. Just raise up your hands. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Father, you are worthy. Lord, we praise you. Let your glory fall in this place with this fire, Father. Your anointed grace, your anointed presence. You are the Lord God of glory. The earth is filled with your glory. The heavens declare your glory, Father. Oh yes, this is Pentecost. Lord, we praise you for your work, Father. Your Son that came to this earth, Lord, and set the captives free. And as he ascended on high, gave gifts, Lord. And he said, "Wait, tarry in Jerusalem, wait in that place, because power shall come upon you." And the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost. And everyone in that house was filled with the presence of Almighty God, with evidence of tongues. Lord, I release that baptism in your mighty name over this house right now, Father. May your glory touch every single person in this house today as we offer up praise to you, as we offer up praise to you, as we worship you, Most High God, as we worship, because you are worthy, you are mighty, you are holy, Lord, you are holy, Father, you are holy. We cry out to Jesus, come Lord Jesus, come Lord Jesus, come Lord Jesus, the name that is above every name, the name that is greater than every name, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your presence in this place. Thank you, Father, for your glory in this place. Thank you, Lord, that you will have your way in this place. Breathe on us, 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 Father. Holy Spirit, have your way. Thank you for your presence in this place, Father. We praise you, mighty God. Hallowed be your name, Lord. Hallowed be your name, Father. Your mercy is new every day. We thank you for your grace in this day and in this place, in this very hour, Father. Thank you that it is by grace that we have been saved, Father. I thank you that your word and your presence will touch every single mind, spirit, soul, and body in this place today, Father, for you alone. Our God, we take authority, Lord. I thank you that in the atmosphere right now, your angels, your witnessing spirits, flames of fire are released all over this place, Father. And I feel even to pray towards the prison there, Lord, and release peace upon that territory right now in the spirit realm, Lord. We release peace over this territory, over the area towards the prison, Lord, over to the north, to the south, to the east, and to the west, Father. We release the presence of Almighty God. We plead and pray the blood of Jesus, Lord. We loose the angels of the Most High God that do the bidding in the name of Jesus. We loose them over Krugersdorp to every single gate in the spirit realm. Thank you, Lord. There's one already closed this morning. Thank you, Father. In the name of, oh yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. There is another. I thank you, Lord, that your authority shall stand, Father. I thank you that your authority shall stand in this place, because this is a righteous house. This is where the name of the Lord is praised. This is where Jesus Christ is Lord. This is where Jesus is King. There is no other name that a man can be saved but by the name of Jesus. Father, we praise you and we release your presence. Lord, we choose the Holy Spirit. We choose the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father. Be hallowed, exalted in this place today, Father. Thank you, Most High God. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Yeah, you might not need that heater in a moment. My goodness. Wow. If you have your Bible with me, go to the book of Acts, please. We had such an awesome time on Friday evening with the Lord, and I don't know if I need to apologize, but if I did keep you, it's just that when God moves and when there's something happening, you need to take your clock off. Remember, God is outside of time. He doesn't look at his alarm clock and say, oh my goodness, it's time for coffee or bedtime or my roast in the oven is burning or anything like that. And it's, those moments are so precious, because if one life is changed in that time, in a night like that, you know what, it's worth it, because every single person is precious to God. Jesus loves everyone, no matter who they are, no matter what tribe or tongue or nation or color they are from, no matter if they're rich or poor, sad or happy, God loves all of them. And we sometimes, I just feel, my personal opinion is that we limit God by not giving ourselves enough time in His presence. If you think of Pentecost today that we're celebrating, and I said on Friday night that Pentecost, my message today and on Friday was Pentecost before and after, because there are events that led up to Pentecost and there are things that happened after Pentecost, and they all are linked together. You cannot see Pentecost as an isolated incident where the Holy Spirit was poured out, because it was, that's the evidence of the ascension of Christ Jesus. And the ascension was what He said He was going to do, and He said His Holy Spirit was going to come, and He said He was going to release power. And we sometimes also just look at wanting that power that the Holy Spirit gives, but we forget that we are required to do something with that. And that's where I'm going to go with you today, is that you and I, as that power is on us today, as that refreshment comes, and it's not just for today, it was poured out at Pentecost when Jesus went up to be with the Father in heaven. And every day there, since that day, there's an outpouring of His Spirit, because in Joel 2 He says, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And that is continuing. And my goodness, certainly where I move around, there is just more and more of the Spirit of God moving in the earth than what we can even think or imagine. We look at the TV, we look at issues in the newspaper, we look around us and we see the decay and the destruction, but we forget to think what has happened in the heavenly realms. God is so busy with things that you and I need to get our eyes set on Him, because in the supernatural realm, I said to you on Friday night, that is reality. What you see on earth is not reality. And I'll prove that to you by the Word of God. This is not reality. Reality is where God is. Because if you tell me this is reality, then you're saying where God is, there's no reality. And He is. You look in the supernatural realm, God is busy changing the nations. And while the earth is starting to fall apart because of the evil forces and things that man's greed, you know, I find it so strange that man changes his laws, his constitutions, his municipalities, his governments, everything to suit his sin. Because if I can't do it, I change the constitution so that I can do it. 30 years ago, 90% of the things that happened in the world today were not happening. You never saw a naked body on TV. You never saw naked bodies in magazines. You didn't see children coming up against parents. You didn't have the 80% divorce rate that's happening. Why? Because people were fearful of God, and because governance was according to the Bible. People moan about the schools and about how children are, but we've taken the name of Jesus out of the schools. And it says in the Bible, I'm going to cover it with you today, in Acts, it says the religious leaders of that day questioned them. They questioned Peter and them. They said, in whose authority do you do this? In whose name? Who said? Who gave you this right? And they said, that king that you crucified, that king that hung on that cross, he's the true authority. He's the true power. And it is in his name that we are doing what we are doing. And what happened? They wanted to pass laws to stop them from using the name of Jesus. Go and read it in Acts 3 and 4. What has happened? Because schools have become businesses and they're greedy, and no disrespect to schools and our institutions of education. It's okay to burn places down and then just walk away and say, okay, somebody else is going to take care of it. It's wrong. And you and I need to take that fire, that power that is given to you in this day, and by the name of Jesus, you enter into that place in the supernatural and you pull those strongholds down. Don't sit in a room and complain and say, no, it's this way, or it's this government or that person. It's not them. There's a warfare going on every single hour of every single day of every single year since Jesus was on this earth. I told you Friday night that the prophetically, when he left this earth and Pentecost happened, was besides the rapture and revelation, there's no other prophetic events left. They've all happened. So what does that tell you and me? We are in the final stages of this earth, the way that we know it. Okay, so let's get to Acts. And Pastor Keith, just when we were praying like that, your church is really, and this is not flattery, I haven't sense such a hunger for God's glory in a long time. I truly, and I really, it's not because I say so, I'm unimportant, but I felt the Lord just impressing on me that something's going to happen in this place when he chooses, if it's today or tomorrow or next week or next year. But my goodness, the taps of the Holy Spirit is going to open up in this house and in this territory, and you are going to be running because of what God is going to do with you. And it's because of that hunger. It's because of that humility. It is because of that obedience. Churches must stop being businesses and start being community places where the fire of God is always present. And when these disciples leave that place, the fire must go with them. Not the names or the titles or anything like that. The fire of God. I hope you enjoyed Friday night. Who was here? Okay, should I ask who was not here? Only one or two. Okay, I'm going to be nice to you. If you weren't here Friday night, stand. Oh, suddenly there's a lot of you, hey? If you don't mind, I'm just going to speak the blessing of, because you're part of this house, and Pastor Keith knows, we said on Friday night that we want to share the blessing. So Father, in the name, just raise your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, I choose in his name, in the capacity and authority you've given me in the name of Jesus, to release the blessing, the goodness, the favor, the grace of Almighty God, which was given on Friday night. Father, I release onto these people that are standing right now. And I thank you that it would take hold in their lives, that it will bring forth much fruit, and that your name will be glorified, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. There you go. All right. One of the things I want to share with you is Perceive, receive, respond. It is the beginning of this year in my ministry, Prophetic Leaders, the couple that were doing the worship, they went into this incredible worship and he kept singing, perceive, receive, respond. And it just keeps coming back to me. So a message is not about that. I want to just use those three words to get you going. Is perceive, that is perception. If you don't have the right spiritual perception, you won't have the right alignment with God. Your spiritual eyes must be correctly aligned. And perception is sight. What is it that you see? I don't have a bottle here now, but if this, for example, was a Coke bottle, and I'm holding it like this, we're all looking at the same thing. But the label that you're seeing on that side might be the big name, and I'm seeing the small name of Coca-Cola on the back here. But we're looking at the same thing. Do you get the idea? We're looking at the same item, but we're seeing differently. And I can turn that thing. We're still looking at the same thing, but you're seeing different letters, whatever the case is. So that's perception. What is it that you are seeing when God speaks to you? In the book of Jeremiah, it starts out, and the Lord says, Jeremiah, what do you see? And he says, I see an almond tree. And he says, you've seen correctly. Now I can perform my word. When you align with what God is saying to you by His Spirit, that's why we need the Holy Ghost. That's why we need the presence of God. Be aligned with Him because He brings that spiritual perception. Your natural understanding cannot operate in the supernatural. Receive. When you've got that perception and God speaking to you, you need to be willing to receive. That's why I was speaking about hardened hearts on Friday as well. Your heart needs to be open to what God has got you, like got for you. Like Jeremiah said, Lord, I see this. And the Lord said, okay, I'm going to do this. And Jeremiah was willing to go and do whatever he needed to do. A lot of times we see, oh, my goodness, the Lord's got awesome stuff for me. And he says, go on your knees for 2 hours. I corner. No, I've got work to do. You know, if I work this hour, I'm going to get an extra $800. Or you get the idea? There is no condemnation for us that are in Christ Jesus, but we need to be truthful with ourselves. So you need to receive what he's giving, and then you need to respond. And that is what the book of Acts is about. We're going to go into that in a little bit more detail. He then gives you something you've now seen, you understand what is required. Now by faith you need to go into works. Because faith and works must have a balance. You can be of 100% faith and no works. You can sit in that room and pray 10 hours a day. I promise you nothing's going to happen. Not if you don't put works to what you've done. So you and I can come to church every Sunday morning and sit in this building, pray for an hour, no worship, no message, just pray and go home. And nothing much is going to happen in terms of fellowship. Nothing much is going to happen in terms of teaching. So what's going to happen? It's going to be very one-dimensional. And I'm not negating the power of prayer. I'm a person of prayer, and we're going to touch on that as well today, because that is where you birth. That is the place where you truly communicate with the Lord. And prayer is not just saying, give me, give me, give me, give me. I mean, now I'm a squirzy. In fact, 80% of your prayer time should be worship time, and then, because in 5 minutes you can ask about 100 things. But test yourself, how much worship can you do in 45 minutes? Try it, test it. After 5 minutes, you're going to run out of words of worship, and because there's no worship leader to lead you. And I'm not discrediting anyone. It's just what I've learned as well. And it's incredible when you push, 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 just that little bit of extra worship. Suddenly the presence of God just mingles more into where you are. And then when you say to Him, gimme, 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 it becomes easy. And I promise you, try it. Ask, go. Go home today and write down, in 5 minutes, time yourself and check how much you can ask for in 5 minutes. You'll be able to ask for a lot of things. All right, so we need to respond. Okay, so let's go to the book of Acts from chapter 1, verse 8. And then I'm going to jump to Acts chapter 2. Are we all there? Say amen. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Notice that you'll get the power. The Holy Spirit is the one who's bringing that power, and you need to be a witness. And it says there you're going to go into different places. So it's not about being in one place as, hallelujah, now I've got the fire. Action. Something's going to happen. So let's go to Acts chapter 2 from verse 1. And that which we've just read is what Jesus said as he was leaving. He said, I've told you about this, and that's what I covered on Friday night in John 14, where the Lord said, the Helper will come, the Holy Spirit. I covered what the role of the Holy Spirit is going to be. And go and read it for yourself. John 15, Jesus said, I chose you. So notice as well that God chose you. You didn't choose him. So if you think you're good because you chose him, you're wrong. It says he chose you. And we have grace. Grace is unmerited favor. There's nothing you can do to earn grace. It's one of the things I had to learn on Friday night. I gave a little bit of my testimony. One of the things I had to learn because of my background, even though I was saved, I was starting to go into, I was in Bible college and other things, and the ministry was starting to happen, but I was trying to work for God's love. I was trying to work for, to say, you know, will you give me more? Will you help me if I, you know, and it's not about that. I'm not saying that you mustn't do works. I said about works and faith. But you cannot earn God's love. If you reject God today for the rest of your life, he will still love you forever. He will never reject you. So, Acts chapter 2 from verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. We are with one accord in one place here today. Amen? Amen. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And when they had prayed, the place where they had assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. They spoke the word of God with boldness, okay? So based on that, I want to go further to this and say to you, this power that you're getting and we've received on Pentecost, this power to be on fire for God. There's many reasons, but in one sermon, I can't touch everything that has to do with this. So I'm going to go down a specific road here and ask you as well, what do you do with that? But let's just continue. Holy Spirit given at Pentecost is an event to cause us, notice this, cause us to be on fire for God, to be empowered for purpose, to have power to change ourselves and to change the world, to deliver, to have ourselves to deliver and to deliver the world, to occupy and to move forward. Now, specifically to occupy, you and I need to understand that as you move in the spirit realm, you need to occupy territory. You need to take territory and you need to keep it. You can't go into spiritual warfare and move this far in the spiritual battle and then give up in prayer and like just, and then tomorrow you've got to take that territory again. It's the art of war. You need to know that when you go in the spirit realm, you need to go in with boldness. And that is part of this power that you and I are given, is by the Holy Spirit. You can have that boldness to go in. Don't go and play with the devil. He's not your focus. God is your focus. I see too many people wanting to just take on the enemy directly. That is nowhere in the Bible. The Bible says resist the devil and he will flee. It does not say attack the devil. Stay in the presence of God. Don't go and think you can do things on your own. And then in your prayer, with this boldness, is pray in the Spirit that God can give you the prayer strategy. And take notes, write down. Have a journal. What is he saying to you personally? What is he saying about your prayer battle? There's intercessors that might be used specifically to bring down things in this territory around your house. You might be caused to pray specifically for some person that you've never seen. But through your, because in the spirit realm, there's no time. You might be praying for somebody in America to be saved or healed or set free. You might be interceding 2 o'clock at night for a pastor that somewhere is praying for Muslims or preaching to them and they want to kill him and your intercession saves that guy's life. That is the boldness that comes by the Spirit of God. So that the power and the fire of God is also to cause us to succeed, cause us to change, transform by the renewal of your mind, and cause us to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Cause us to be without sin, cause us to be holy, cause us to pray, cause us to give, cause us to be joyful citizens of the kingdom. And I read somewhere that it's something that taught me that, you know, when we minister to people, we can't always just speak blessing and love and all that. There's judgment that must come as well when we speak to one another. And while we speak to one another in love, yeah, and about the Spirit of God today in the fire, we need to be honest with each other and say, there's no place for sin. There's no place for sin. There's mistakes. That's why you have grace. Because we're just human. All of us are going to make mistakes every day. But I also wanted to give you this encouragement that if you go look up the definitions of perfection, it is the process to get to completion or wholeness. So you and I are perfect in Christ. You don't have to work to become perfect. Jesus made you perfect, and he poured his Spirit out on you. Now he's given you this this journey, and what happens is all that you're doing is you're growing imaged, glory to glory into his image. So you are perfection because perfection is a continual state. It's not an end state. You see, we always think you want to be perfect, you've got to get to a goal. It's not. Perfection is not a goal. It's a continuous act of seeking of wholeness. And part of this change and holiness that we go through is for you and I to be renewed. I told you guys on Friday night about the 3 years that I didn't go to a shopping center. I did, you know, I thought afterwards people probably thought, how did I buy groceries and things? I did go to the shops, but I mean, I didn't go into malls. That was the point. And it was part of the change and deliverance process in my own life, and it's just awesome. So the fire is a process by which that which is of the world, contrary to God, gets burned away, and that which remains belongs to God. The Bible says that everything will be tested, that which is stubble, that which is hay, you will go through the refiner's fire, and that which is left is what is acceptable to God. So you and I go through this process all the time, and even on Judgment Day, your works are going to be put to the fire, to the test. And I said to you on Friday night that the journey with God is a continual test. My goodness, let me tell you, don't underestimate how difficult it gets the further you go. You know, when we finished up here, we prayed together, big group on Friday night, and we were just, you know, encouraging one another. One of the things I found is that I have such an appreciation for the pastors and the leaders of God in churches today so much. Well, I've never had a disrespect for them, but when I used to sit in the congregation, you know, I thought maybe it's quite easy to be up here. It's not. It's really probably the most thankless position, because it's not a job, it's a call. And it has to be done in love. You cannot be offended. You cannot have your own way. So it becomes very difficult, and that process of changing, because now you need to go further, you need to go further, you need to go further. And every time that fire of the Holy Spirit has to burn on you, the fire is a process which all the things of the world gets burnt away. Sanctification is a process. We need to look at our heart condition. Salvation is a journey. It's not a single event in time. Like Pentecost is not a singular event. You cannot, I mean, I need to tell you something that's quite funny for me. I love it because Pentecost is the only time that the retailers can't take advantage of the Christians. You know, April, they sell you all the rubbish. In Christmas, they sell you all the rubbish. I mean, I know the manager of the spa out by me quite well, and I said to him, his name's Paul, I said to him, about a year or two ago, I said, it's the 1st of October, you got Christmas decorations. Oh, we've got to make money, there's targets. I mean, come on. I remember as a kid, I think the Christmas decorations went up a week or two before Christmas in the shops. And then you go check out the lights and things, and now it's retail ripoff. I call April, Easter, and December the retail ripoff. Because it is the greatest rip-off. You can go, I check prices. I never used to, but I've had to with where I am, and I've become quite picky. And because I'm a single guy, I do all my own washing, ironing, cleaning, scrubbing, all that kind of stuff. So I know what the different prices are of goodies. And a lot of times I'll take some and I'll go to the store manager and I'll say to them, you know, last week this thing was $5, now it's $10. How can you? This is a pack of beans, come on. Yeah, but this, the one guy told me last year I bought a bottle of gel, my favorite shower gel, and it had gone up by like R9, from R24 to R32 or something. It was Nivea shower gel. And he said, yeah, but there's been a drought. I said, what has shower gel got to do with drought? I mean, come on. It's because, so, it's the biggest retail ripoff. So I'm happy at Pentecost because I actually wish they would, because then the Spirit of God would, maybe they'd allow that to come in. Because then they would notice. Oh, thank you, Lord. What did I say just now? In the book of Acts, it says, they said, in whose name do you do this? If the retailers now recognized this, they were saying, Jesus is alive. Do you hear what he's saying? If they recognized Pentecost in the shops, they would be acknowledging the ascension of God and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Because Christmas, they've changed the name to Xmas and to Happy Holidays. So they bypass the point. Easter, I don't know, it's about the bunny or bugs or whoever. Somewhere, the egg Easter, the chocolates are lekker, they're cool. I have three worms, I told people on Friday night as well. No, it was yesterday, somewhere else. One loves coffee, one caffeine, one loves chocolate, and one loves food. So, you know, that's why I'm so thin. After you have received power, let's move on. So it's a life-changing. I want you to get this around changing your life, because you can never be the same when you've come into the presence of God. Pastor Keith said it on Friday night as well, that what happened, you cannot go home the same. If you go home the same after being with Jesus, then I want to ask you who you have been with. Unless you have the wrong attitude, you or me have the wrong attitude that we've come into the presence of God, but we're not willing to receive and respond, like I said in the opening, to what He's doing. So you can never be the same, and this is a continual change process. After you've received power, what do you do with this power? So I'm going to give you a couple of points that I think are just key and not dwell too long on them. Just remember, you are empowered and you must never wait. Yes, there's times you wait on God, but maybe I'll give you an idea of what the Lord showed me some years ago. I was reading a little book, prayer book by Andrew Murray. It said, waiting on God. And I thought, okay, now, cool, you go and sit and you just pray. And he said, no, that's not what I mean by waiting on God. He gave me an idea. There was a restaurant, a coffee shop that I always used to go to when I was still working, before I went into ministry. And there was a guy, Thomas, African guy, very nice guy, that always served me. He knew how I wanted my... I was very fussy. I want hot, foamy milk, and I want my eggs easy over. America does it right. South Africa doesn't understand easy over. They hoy it over, and they leave it, and then it's dead when you get it. And I don't like... So I'm fussy. So he got to know me, and he did everything. The first thing he would do when I sit down, he would put down a glass of water with ice and lemon. And then he would bring me my coffee and heat my mug, you know, things like that. It's just part of service. You're paying for it, so you might as well ask for it. And the Lord said to me, as Thomas is ready to serve you, that was waiting, what means. So yes, Mark sitting, you know, I'm going to have breakfast or I'm going to do whatever. But the waitron or the person, he was the head waiter, would be ready to serve you at any time. That is waiting on God, where you are ready to serve on God at any point in time. So you're waiting for His response. You're waiting for His instruction. You're waiting for His call when He says, I want eggs, I want bacon, I want coffee, whatever. He's not going to do that, obviously, but I'm using an example. So you wait in readiness, a state of readiness, acute awareness of where the Holy Spirit is with you, so that when He moves, you can move. When He says stop, you stop. When He says go left, go left. When He says go right. And eventually you start dancing with God. And the flow, hey, check. I didn't know I could waltz. I think the last time I did that was for the matric farewell, which was 30 years ago. It's like, they had to come into Potchboy's eye and teach us all how to dance. God wants us to move into restoration and relationship. Key to you and me with the Holy Spirit on you. That fire is to move into restoration and relationship. There's so many marriages breaking up. There's so many businesses breaking up, households, everything. Why? Because there's no relationship. God is not religion, He's relationship. And if you're in this place today and you think God's religious, I'm going to say to you, you're wrong. God's not interested in relations, in religion. Religion died with the law, and you cannot mix law and grace. You cannot have to receive grace and then live under the law. The vessel and the anointing. This glass, let's use this as an example again. The anointing is endless. God is never impure, or there's never a shortage. But the vessel is. You and I are the vessel. This glass is the vessel. Now, if you had to throw hot water in here out of a kettle, you'd probably shatter this glass because it's not built. Some glasses are not built for that. The point being that you and I need to allow the Holy Spirit to mold this vessel to receive the anointing. You can bring a jug now and pour water in here. This glass is only going to hold about 250 mils of water. Then it's going to start overflowing. So the anointing doesn't stop, but now God's got to build you into a bigger vessel to receive more of the anointing. The anointing never ends. But you and I need to be moved to maturity. You need to be sculpted to receive and to operate in the anointing. That requires maturity. You cannot just be saved, reborn, filled with the Spirit of God, and go run around in places and think that you can do things. You cannot use that scripture that says, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now is with me, I can go and do. Yes, you can go minister to people, speak people, because sometimes it happened. Paul changed in 3 days. The point being this, is we're not undermining the Spirit of God. We're saying, check yourself. Because if there's issues on you and you're going to go bring it, things to other people, you're just going to release those issues, anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, opinions. There might even be devils or demons in you. What are you going to do? You're just going to carry it over. Is that all your children that just arrived? No, it's fine. The ship's filling up. Remember Friday night I said this. Hello, Tracy. Remember, I just said restoration to you on Friday, and as you walked in, we're talking restoration. Hey? So I think you need to start having an encounter of praise with God and say to Him, thank you, Lord, because you're not ill, so you're not going to be healed. And that's not condemnation, but you're not ill, Tracy. You will be restored. You will be restored. In other words, you will be rebuilt to as good as new. All right, let's move on. Encounter and experience. Many people want experiences with God. Many people want encounters with God. What do you do when you have that encounter? Look at the woman of Samaria that came to the well. Jesus spoke to her. He prophesied. He said, oh, I perceive you've had more than one husband. She said, you know, I perceive you're a prophet. What did I say? Perceive? She had the inclination. This guy must be somebody else. And he spoke to her. He ministered there. Jesus didn't say, I'm the Christ. You must listen to me. Hallelujah. No disrespect to the Lord. I'm trying to make a point here. He spoke to her as if any man and woman would speak as well, but he spoke knowing her life. And she responded to what he was saying. He said, I perceive you to be somebody who knows things. You and I, under the anointing of grace, the fire of the Holy Spirit, need to be at a well where you can speak to people and they will perceive Christ in you. They will perceive there's something different in you. They will perceive that there's a light on you. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You and I need to be that shining light. Don't run after the experiences. I'm just going to tell you as well that if God wants to give you a prophetic word, He'll send a prophet to you. You don't have to run to every prophetic utterance or meeting out there, because prophets, if they're true prophets, they cannot manufacture a word. Then they're not prophets. Because prophetic is only comes by the utterance of the Holy Spirit. And it is the bubbling forth of the mind of Christ into that person to give somebody a word. Otherwise, you're not a prophet. You can run around the world. We had There's a lady here that was with us in Zimbabwe. We went and did mission work there 2-3 years ago, and they had an issue there. There was a court case that we saw in the paper, and there was a guy running around. He was controlling the ladies in the city. He was a prophet, and he gave them a bangle. So he had control of all of them. The day they took him to court to testify him, the woman that he had abused and him couldn't sit in the same courthouse because his spirit was that powerful, they couldn't speak against him. They had to separate them. If you go look, and then we came back, and the same lady that was with us said, it's seen Jeremiah talks about. A prophet's putting a bangle on your arm. He controlled, he was having intercourse with women saying, your husband is not pure, I'll make you pure by having sex with you. And eventually this went on, and it landed up in a massive court case. But he controlled them, but they were running after him for the experience of what can this guy do for me. So don't run after the experiences. Go for the true encounter of the living God with his anointed presence. If his anointing's not there, don't. I always say to people, there's no way as a person, when there's a true anointing in a house, somebody just can't give a wrong word. You know, up here. God ain't going to let his anointing rest here and let somebody come and tell you a lie. Reasoning and revelation. One of the things that was really eye-openers for me is you and I need to start living by revelation. That is by the insight that the Holy Spirit brings in you. Christ in us, the hope of glory, the Spirit of truth. Jesus said the Helper will come and He will set you free. This will happen, that will happen. He will lead you into all truth. He will reveal the Father to you. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now you have my Spirit so you can see the Father. So the Spirit in you will reveal to you what you need to know. What we do is we reason things out. You go and sit and pray with the Lord for half an hour, whatever your prayer time is. Then you go sit and have a cup of coffee and you're like, you know what? If I did that, if I did that. And what are you doing? You're just negating the conversation you had with God. Because now you're using your natural reasoning to figure out a supernatural God. So we live by revelation. A while ago at one of our seminars, there was a man, and we perceived that he had something wrong with his back. And my pastor, that's head of FCF South Africa, was there, and he gave him a word, and then I prayed for him. And the Lord said, well, he's healed. You can stop. Well, you don't. Remember, Jesus didn't pray for people to be healed. He just told things to go. So maybe let that be a lesson to us as well when people say, pray for me for healing. No. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Go. Be set free. And this man, I found out that was no disrespect. He was a pastoral counselor. But he didn't have the Spirit in him. He wasn't spiritful. So he was standing, looking at me, very intelligent man and wonderful guy. But he was like, what are you doing, dude, you know? And he's healed. His spine was healed. But he's like figuring it out. And in his mind, it was going, ka-chunk, 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 ka-chunk. This can't be. Who's this guy? He's unimportant. He can't tell me I'm healed and all this. And I didn't know who he was. It was the first time I'd met him. But as we left that day, the owner of the place, the venue we had, came to me and said, you need to understand this guy is a counselor, and he's to a method very religious. Point is, I'm not judging him. He didn't receive his healing, although it was given. Why? Because of by his own reasoning. Spirit-filled or Spirit-touched? The Holy Spirit will always touch you, because if you're Spirit-filled, you don't need a touch from the Holy Spirit. He's inside of you. He's inside of you. What did you just call and praise for? The fire in you. He doesn't leave. God is God, not a God of visitation. Shekinah glory means a God who loves to dwell. And if we have time, we'll get there. Stolen identity. You are no longer a slave to fear. You're no longer homeless or rejected or orphaned. Philippians 4 says that be anxious for nothing, but in all things, give your supplications. Put your requests before God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall be upon you. It's one of the strangest things, the people that I counsel, a lot of people coming out of addiction and that, one of the things I find most often is they're just anxious. They're fearful. And because of that, they think they're bad and they're evil and they're wrong and all that. And all you need to do is deal with that and suddenly they're at peace. God loves you. Just put up your hand and say, God loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. He loves you with an unconditional love. It's ni bikini. Do you think the creator of all of existence would put himself in a physical body, come to this earth, be shamed, put on a cross, and then be thrown into some tomb or whatever, and they tore his clothes, they spat on him? I mean, I don't really have much of a beard, but I mean, if that young man, if he came now and I grabbed his beard and pulled it, I promise you he's going to swipe me or he's going to start crying because it's sore. He's showing me he's going to come for me. I can ball a roll. Yeah, we're going to climb into each other. Yeah, okay. So if you, I just feel to release that peace. Father, in Jesus' name, I release peace over these people. If you're in this place, at the end of this, you need prayer for that peace. We'll pray for you. But you need to understand it's not about us. It's not about any pastor. We are the vessel. That scripture I used just now, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, if it's in you, if you are Holy Spirit filled, ask him. Ask him for that peace. He is God. He is God. Let him run your life. Let your identity come back. The greatest challenge people have in modern society is they don't know who they are. Because of brands, because of advertising, social media, breakups of families. I'll give you an example of my own, okay, and this is no condemnation on my dad or my family, anything. I've had to deal with that years ago. That was cool. The Lord took me through all of that kind of stuff. That was the example I gave you on Friday night where on my Mercedes dashboard, he showed me his nail-scarred hands, and he said, Mark, these are the only scars you'll ever need because I've got a lot of scars on my body, but also on my soul I had. And I said, but what about all these scars on me? And he showed, I was driving to Bible college, second year, and I was 2 years saved, 2.5 years saved. And his hands appeared on my car at the time. I was still in the corporate world. And he said, these are the only scars you will ever need. And it was, after that, you don't argue with him anymore. But stolen identity. People, families break up. And in our case, I was the youngest of six. My dad moved on. He had more kids. And he moved on. He had more kids. And he moved on. And the fourth one, no, he didn't have more kids. So he was quite a fertile dude. Point being, and he wasn't a bad man. He just, I don't know what happened. I wish, I never had a relationship with him. I knew him and all that, but I didn't, so I don't really know what drove my dad, or he was a very intelligent man. He was very well known and all that kind of stuff. The point being that now there's, out of the four marriages, three of those, there's new children. Okay. I'll speak a blessing over you at the end. What happens is I lost the blessing because he moved to a new family. They got the blessing. He moved to another family. They lost his gain. In other words, every time he had a boy, because he only had more sons after that, we were five boys and one girl. But after that, he had more boys, and the blessing kept moving. Do you hear what I'm saying? So there's lost identity. In the spirit realm, you are orphaned. That is why marriage is so important. That is why sex before marriage is a no. Because you're setting up things that you don't understand. What you cannot see with your eyes, daibiki lifi lifi lifi. Don't go there. Because there's going to be a lot of problema, problema, problema. The consequence of it. All right? But that identity issue, there's a lot of children because of broken families. They don't have a father to identify with. They don't have a leader to identify with. So they start choosing heroes from the world. Nothing wrong with that because they need somebody to look up to. So it's a soccer player, rugby player, a rock and roll artist, or whatever the case is. And unfortunately, sometimes they choose the wrong people. So they start molding their lives to that identity. And that is not your identity. Then your identity is stolen. That is how the devil steals your identity, by making you want to grow into something you're not. The Lord said, I go to prepare a place for you. Remember that the bride, the church, is the bride of Christ at the end of all time. So the Holy Spirit is there to help you and I prepare. a bride, when she's getting to be married, she spends a hell of a lot of time and a lot of money as well to prepare for her wedding day. You and I must be prepared for that day that Jesus comes, and then we go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, whenever that is in time. And that is part of why you need the Holy Spirit. Seeking God's best. If you look at the story of Elijah and Elisha going through the Jordan, Jericho walls being broken down. Jordan means death. Gilgal, that battle, that valley of Gilgal. Elisha would not stop following Elijah. And he said eventually when he's taken up to, when I'm taken up, Elijah said, and my mantle falls on you, it so happens, then cool. Otherwise, and Elijah kept ignoring him. And Elijah pursued him. It's very prophetic. If you are prophetic in any way, go and study that, because those three places have prophetic meaning in what gets broken down and changed in your life. And then you cross the Jordan, and remember, he came back with a mantle of Elijah, and he said, "Where is the God of Elijah?" And he struck the Jordan, then the river parted, and he came through. Then he had that anointing. Your passion must be to pursue Jesus at all costs. Give up all. I'm not saying go resign your job and all that. That's not about it. In here, in your heart, in your mannerism, in your character. God is interested in your character, not your money. I've met millionaires got lots of money, but they got no character. Maturity is important. Pressing on to the upward call. We must do something. That response that was required of us. Paul speaks about endurance. We are in need of endurance. Philippians 3 from verse 10, pressing on to the upward call. Setting our mind on things above. Colossians 3 verse 2, walking in the Spirit. Galatians 5 talks about walking in the Spirit. The sons of God are those that are led by the Spirit of God. Every single day, take time to let the Spirit fill you and ready you for the day. And if you're married, pray over your wife. Release the peace, the blessing of God on your children. Jan said something Friday night, which was quite profound, which I've heard of before, that pregnant lady I prayed for. If you're having children, the moment you conceive, there's life. And while you cannot see that child, you start praying. As a husband, as a wife, you start speaking, ladies, over that child. You speak God's love. You speak life. You speak light. You speak governance. You speak authority. You speak everything that God is available to you. You speak into that child's life. And you never stop until that day that that child comes of age. Then it's their own choice. And you and I said on Friday night, must get the generational blessing sorted. We need to be the link where you've had a broken family. Stand up and become that link to sort out the future. That when you leave this earth, the rest of your family is following God. And that there's no more sin to the third and fourth generation. No more generational curses. No more illness. No more sickness. No more poverty. Be filled with the Spirit. Lift the oppression of the enemy. And in Acts 2 verse 38, it says, the promise is for you and your household. Repent, be baptized, and receive the Holy Spirit. We need to repent, though. You cannot just come into a place and be totally unholy, unforgiving, totally bitter against God and expect Him to do something in your life. So I'm going to start asking you as we come to close here this morning, where is your life at this point in time? Met vibe kleye. Are you fighting with God? Are you fighting with your husband, your wife, your children, your parents? It says, honor your mother and father. Things are being restored in my life since I gave a teaching a while ago on the glory of God. And I had to deal with that breakage in my family because I dealt with things with my father. But from Bethel Church, I got a teaching from one of their leaders, this guy I met in February. And it changed my life. And he said, you need to be the link. Forgive and let go and honor your father even though he's not here anymore. And what happened is I went through that process. I'd forgiven and done all that. But I didn't know about that honor. The moment I started doing that, my life just started changing. In every manner of means. My life wasn't in a bad place, but things I wasn't perceiving were starting to come. I became attraction to a few things. And it was because I started giving honor to my Father, who is still my Father, although I lost my identity, he's still my Father. And it's a principle, all men in this house are sons first. And young men, understand this, you are a husband before you are a father. In the natural realm, you can be a father and not be a husband, but that's illegal in God's economy. In other words, you're not married and you have a child. That's illegal in God's book. Okay? So you cannot be a father if you're not a husband. And you cannot be a husband if you're not a son. You need to catch that. Father and son. Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, is the relationship you and I need to pursue and seek all the time. Okay, so we need to desire fresh fire, fresh oil. Psalm 92, verse 10, David says, "You have anointed me with fresh oil." David was already king then. He was anointed. You need to desire a fresh anointing all the time. If you look at the book of Acts, there was three times in the book of Acts that the Holy Spirit was poured out. So it's not a one-time event. It's not a singular. You can have that every single Sunday in your church. In fact, you should desire it. I just felt from the worship team this morning, there was such a desire. It was just flowing so lekker. You know, I was praying then. I said, "Lord, if you don't want me to teach today, let the worship carry on for the next hour. I'll be cool with it." First of all, I love worship, and God comes first. But I know when I honor Him, things will happen. When it's about me, nothing happens. Unfortunately, okay? That's just the way it works. In Ephesians 5 from verse 19, it talks about singing in psalms, hymns. Prophesy over yourself through singing, hymns, psalms. Sing unto the Lord in the morning. Say, "Lord, I bless your name. You, the Lord, is my shepherd." I can't sing like you. He's like the Elvis here of the house. But, all right. Drink deep. That thirst you've got, go and seek Him. Seek Him. If it comes to Friday night and you don't know what to do, there's no cool movie or place to be or anything like that, I've done with all that rubbish. It's just a waste of time and money. I'm not saying don't go out, but it doesn't. I find Fridays, I don't know what to do with myself because there's nothing appealing out there. That's why we have our worship nights as well. Brings people together for coffee on a Friday night and all that. Stick on your loudspeakers with worship music. Make your coffee or your cold drink and go on your face on the floor one Friday night a month or something and say, "Lord, here it is, your tight." Jeez, Lord, what are you doing? Let Him speak to you because your life on this earth is only that big. We tend to think this life on this earth is big. Your life in eternity is big. And this is a preparation process. The attitude of the believer should be this continual receiving the Holy Spirit fire. The anointing breaks the yoke. You have the power to break the bondage. You have the power to change your past. You have the power to change the future. You are the light of the world. Greater things that you will do. We see the acts of the actions of the apostles. So you and I need to respond. Go and look at the things they did. We see the acts or actions of the apostles after Pentecost. An example of what we should be doing, living, expressing, not coming short of anything. Signs of the early church were love, unity, generosity, faith, action, works. They were in harmony together. We see the power of their testimony. We see their boldness. We see their suffering as well. Paul and Silas in the jail. They started singing at midnight. What happened? The gates went open. When you are in a difficult place, praise the Lord. Give Him the honor. Let Him break those chains. Acts 5 from verse 12 says, "And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. Dorcas was raised to life." Paul and Silas, I've been mentioned that. And Ananias and Sapphira, they were lying about the selling their property. They lied to the Holy Spirit about what they profit they had made. What happened? They died. Let it be a lesson. This is New Testament, not Old Testament. Don't lie to the Holy Spirit. Don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit because ye gaan kort kom. Peter and John go up to the temple and then there's a guy at that gate of beautiful and he wants something from them. And Peter says to him, "Gold and silver I have not. get up and walk in the name of Jesus. Boom, the guy was healed. You don't have to, if you don't have anything to give, give them Jesus. You might be the only Jesus that somebody ever sees. Not that you are Jesus, but if they see Christ in you, that might just change their lives. Put God first. Work with God, not for God. Not any person is employed by God. If you've heard that, it's wrong. I am not employed by God. He doesn't pay me a salary. It's something I had to get used to. It's a mindset change that I needed. He said to me sometimes, Mark, there might not be income for months. I was used to the corporate world. Every month I was waiting for my paycheck. What happens? Our mindset is conditioned to live according to our paycheck. If you are living according to your paycheck, I'm telling you, your life is not in a good place. No matter how much money you're earning. And I'm not speaking condemnation. The point is, either you're in too much debt or your focus is on materialism. Your focus should be on God. There's nothing wrong with earning good money, going to buy yourself a car, jeans, go out on holiday, do whatever. I bless you. May the Lord bless you. Multiply your finances. But if you're living for the 30th of the month so that you can get money, then the 30th of the month that you can get money, the 30th of the month and Christmas time, your bonus, ek sê nou vir jou, meneer, mevrou, you're living wrong. You should not be living paycheck to paycheck. That's just an add-on. Money is like water. You just use it. It's a resource. Money has nothing. I don't have anything on me. Paper here that I've got, it means nothing unless I transact with it. So you can have hordes of money unless something gets done with it, it has no power. And it's the same with the Holy Spirit. You can have Him, but if you don't do something with Him in you, nothing happens. I'm not sure if it's God or that thing. Because like, okay. And I'm closing. We caught it to 11, so we're on time, but maybe a little. I want to share one or two things maybe with you if you'll be patient with me. Is there anyone who's roasting the oven's going to be ready in the next 15 minutes? Put up your hand, we'll all come to your house and eat. I hope you've made enough food. And ek eet baie jong. Might not look like it, but yeah, I told you I've got three worms, so. All right. God made man to walk as a son, as a master, as a ruler, to walk in the promise of His Spirit. I'm going to read that again. God made you that are sitting here to walk as a son or a daughter, as a master and a ruler, to walk in the promise of His Spirit. If I can leave something with you today beside that which the Holy Spirit has already done in and through you and upon you this morning and still going to do in the next few minutes, I believe, be encouraged that you are more than what you see sitting here today. Don't measure yourself by the natural abilities and capabilities and situation that you find yourself in. Poverty is a mindset. It's a spirit. Illness is a mindset. It's a spirit. Yes, we get sinus or whatever because the air is dirty, so that's not a spirit, you know. It happens. It's because your system reacts to all the dirt in that. So let's not get over spiritual and think that every possible thing is a demon and try and chase it. It ain't going to run. What I am saying to you is that 99% of things that happen to people are illnesses that we bring on ourselves because there's consequence to what we do. If you drink too much like I used to, you're going to die. If you take drugs too much like I did 10 years, 12 years ago, I told the people Friday night 12 years ago, this weekend is when I was saved. In Little Falls Christian Center, I was carried, taken in there, and I was literally on death's bed. I was still alive and well, but I fell ill, and the doctors told me that I'd burnt the candle on both ends. I'd been divorced for 2 or 3 years. After I'd got divorced, I landed up in a lifestyle that I didn't understand. I didn't know existed, first of all. Let me tell you something. There's bad stuff out there. I was a very sweet, conservative person, but after that divorce, I got involved with the wrong people. I landed up places in academic devil begin speel without even, not intentionally. I never ever had time for evil. I hate violence. I hate abuse and things like that. But you land up in places where, when I got saved, I realized that I was literally playing with the devil and his angels in those 2 years. And my goodness, by the grace of God, I'm standing here and not sitting in that prison or in a 6-foot hole. But God has got a plan and a purpose for your life. And I want to encourage you, don't leave this earth finding out what He had for you. Don't come to heaven. We talk about the pearly gates. I don't know if there's pearly gates in heaven. There are going to be pearl gates, but that's the New Jerusalem. And the New Jerusalem is not yet there, okay? So none of us really know what heaven looks like at this point in time, I guess. But don't get to heaven one day and the Lord takes you to a garage full of like Ferraris and Mustangs and BMs and Mercs and things and says, this was all yours. He's like, Esh, what happened? He said, no, but you never came to me. You never asked me what is yours because your inheritance is there. The Bible says we are heirs to all of what God has got. Don't come short in this life by not knowing what God's plan is for you. And I'm not talking about a plan to be in full-time ministry. If you're called into that, pursue that. Every single person that God has created. Last week when I was here, remember I closed with praying and I said, God only made beautiful people and you one of them. You need to understand that every drop of blood of Jesus that fell into this earth in that mercy seat had your name on it, had your DNA written on it. And if you want me to pray into your DNA today, and if there's anything wrong with you physically deep inside, I will do that willingly because God created your DNA. Nobody else. And your DNA is the core, physically, naturally, of everything that represents you. I never did biology at school, but I've done these things through some of the studies that because we need to understand how God has created us. Fearfully and wonderfully well, David says in Psalm 139. So in the final analysis, the Alpha and the Omega, you and I have a destiny. We are to walk in oneness. There's a calling for you. And I felt last night, I was just reading through these notes again, that for this ministry, for Heritage Christian Church, is to release this word of Isaiah 60 that says, arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. That is my message today. I want to also just maybe give you one or two indicators quickly. Let's go back in the day of Adam. God walked with him in the garden. There was a relationship. Adam was not a supernatural creature, but he had everything. He was fully capacitated. That's why you and I only use apparently 10% of our brain because of our fallen nature. Have you read the studies of what praying tongues does to you, how it rejuvenates you? Do it more often and you'll see it changes your life. But there was, let's call it the glory, that everything existed in the presence of God. Man fell, but man didn't lose his purpose, so you and I still have a job to do. But at the tabernacle of Moses in the desert, what was with them? The cloud and the pillar. What are we doing here today? The fire of God is representation of the glory of God. Okay, he also judges with fire. You go read the Bible. Don't want to throw fire down in places because if you don't understand it, God's fire consumes. He's an all-consuming fire. And a lot of times we use the phrases and things incorrectly. But let's move on from the tabernacle of Moses. Notice also that in the tabernacle of Moses, the Israelites only moved when the cloud moved. Only when the glory of God moved did they move. Let that be a lesson to you and I. Only move of the Spirit of God. The glory of God moves. Don't move outside it. Let's go to the Temple of Solomon. Aaron and they made the sacrifices, huge ones. Remember, David wanted, God said, build me a sanctuary, a dwelling place. But in the final analysis, God said that in Acts as well, he says, I do not dwell in temples made with hands. But the fire came down and consumed the offering, the sacrifice to inaugurate the temple, and it became a dwelling place for it. Shekinah glory means a dwelling place for God. Today we're talking about Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You cannot move to the glory without the fire. You cannot move to the fire without the Holy Spirit. The point being, yet to move to the glory, allow the Holy Spirit to fill, allow the Holy Spirit to rule, allow the Holy Spirit to reign, allow Him to govern, to administrate, to have all the honor, all the glory in this place, and the glory of God will manifest in this place and in your life. The more of the Holy Spirit you have, the more ready you are for the glory of God. Now what happens? Jesus comes and He is 100% God, 100% man. So the glory is there, but it's also... Sorry, is this a bit of a wave of heat? I cry now for verskriklik warm. Thank you, Lord. But what did we touch on today? Pentecost, the fire, the presence, the Holy Spirit. Jesus, who is God, who is the glory, in John 17 prayed for Himself, then for His disciples, then for us to come. And He said, Father, restore to me that glory that I was where You are. Originally, we are one. But then He says about you and me, those same words, go read it in the end of John, or read the whole of John 17. Let these that come after me be brought into that same glory as you and I knew from the beginning of time. If you underestimate your value, go and read John 17, and you'll find out that the glory that Jesus had on this earth and that He has now in heaven is there for you and me. When we are in Him, you can't be separated from His glory. You're not there and Him there. We are one. We are one. Then what happened at Pentecost? We've had the cloud and the fire in the temple, in the desert. The tabernacle in the desert. We had it in the temple of Solomon. We had it, the real temple Himself. Christ came, and what happened? He poured it out on you and I. Go to the New Jerusalem. And everything is restored because the glory of God lights up everything. But go read in those words. He says, the man has become the dwelling place of the glory of God. I hope you now get a better picture and understanding of what Pentecost, its significance. Remember I said to you, before and after Pentecost, don't see it as a singular item. Let the glory of the Lord fill your house. Ask Him in your house. You can begin to stand. The worship guys can begin. We are done with the sermon. We'll maybe pray for one or two people or word here and there, and then we need to, because tonight there's still more. And I was biki much. We did 5 or 6 hours on Friday night, and I only got to bed at 4 o'clock Saturday morning. I'm not complaining, but there was so much fire on me, I couldn't go to bed. So about 4 o'clock, I drank a protein shake, and I went, Lord, can I now go to sleep, please? And I was gone. And unfortunately, when the sun comes up, I can't sleep, so I was awake again. So gister was ek baie moeg, ek kon nie gaan gym nie. Do you get the understanding of how important you are to God? Larry, is this your son? Okay. Young man, how are you doing? Just all right. You're not sweet like a lemon. Okay, then we're going to pray for you to make you sweet like a lemon. If we can take a moment, Pastor Keith, if I wanted you to bow your heads and close your eyes, please. I cannot walk out of here that if there's somebody that is in desperate need of God, and let that person go. If you have come into this place and you say to me, Mark, I have never cried out to Jesus. I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't have Jesus Christ as my Lord, my Savior. I'm in a pit. I'm in a dark place. I don't know where tomorrow's going. If I had to die in this week or this year, I don't know if I'm going to heaven or hell. I need a Savior. I need Jesus. I want to confess my sin. I want to let go of my past. I want to come into this place where the Holy Spirit can rule my life. I want to come into that place where I want to be washed in the blood of Jesus. I want to come into that place where I want to forgive everything of my past. I want to be healed of anger and bitterness and unforgiveness. I want healing in my body. I want healing in my mind because I'm being with infirmities because of anger against God, or I've never received Him, or I've always stood against Him. If that is you, I want you to put up your hand. I want you to put up your hand. There's no shame. There's no guilt in this place. If you are in that place today, the fire of God is here. The presence of God is here. He's no different. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But my friend, I am telling you, I have been down and out on the streets. I have been dying. I was abused. I was in a drunk, prostituted place. I was in drunkenness. I was in addiction. I was in things that you cannot even think or imagine. And His blood-filled hands came and lifted me up. And today I stand here in full-time ministry by the grace of Almighty God. And I'm telling you today that He is real. There's no other God. There's no other place but Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask again, I thank you for those hands that have come up. If you are in this place today and you say, Mark, I need a touch of the Lord. I need Jesus. Then I want you to put up your hand. And if you have put up your hand, I want you to stand up and come forward. Come to the front yard. I want to pray with you before you leave this place. If you are here and you need to leave right now because it's 11 o'clock, I release you under the blessing of the Lord, but I'm going to pray for people. Pastor Keith and them are going to carry there, and I'm going to fit in with whatever he wants to do. We won't take long, but I just believe that when we are here, I cannot leave a place with the gifting God has given me and just say it's only for an hour or two. I am His servant, and I will stay as long as you need me. But you don't need me, you need Jesus. If there's anyone here that is not filled with the Holy Spirit, that you've received Jesus, but you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, baptism, and the evidence of tongues, and you want that, then I want you to come forward as well. If you want a fresh touch of the fire of God, come forward as well.